You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer.
This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey,
it's never too early for Robin Williams. Good morning and welcome to Radio Caravan.
How about that
featuring our special guest from far, far away in heaven, the one, the only, the genius Robin Williams, as we pay homage to him today. Scooty, good morning. How are you, brother?
Mr. Fancy Pants, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me in your studio this morning.
Nice of you to make it.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, here with my co-host Robert Palmer, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. And in the studio this morning, we also have engineer April Johnson.
Yay.
Good morning. Good morning, April.
Healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey.
Good morning.
Yo, yo, yo.
And, of course, production assistant, Katie Fetters.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
So, Robert, we're going to do something a little different this morning, yes? You want to kind of explain to the listeners what our goal is?
Well, our goal for our guest today is to remember the good times and the happy times of Robin Williams, who's an absolute genius that all of us knew and loved. Max Tech cannot be here today, but he sends his best, and he used to work out with Robin Williams at the University of San Francisco gym. He was a regular. He was actually a health nut.
Wow.
If you can believe it. Rode his bike, worked out daily. His trainer used to be Mike Trainer's husband, and we were invited up to his house for Christmas once, but we couldn't make it. A very loving, generous man from all accounts.
You were invited up to Robin Williams' house for Christmas?
I was indeed.
Wow, and you passed on that opportunity.
I had just gotten married, and we were going to see my in-laws, so
gotcha.
I didn't have a choice. But,
Robin Williams in-laws.
Yeah.
Robin Williams in-laws.
Yeah. It was an early sign that marriage wasn't going to work. But beloved by all, and according to his trainer, he was literally like you see him on camera, off camera.
Yeah.
They'd go out for a simple cup of coffee, and he nicknamed him the Pied Piper. Said by the time he got a couple blocks down, he had 100 people around him, and he was entertaining them all the whole way.
Wow.
Yeah, very generous man.
Yeah, incredible talent.
Incredible talent.
Great a comedian, of course. And really quite an accomplished actor in a lot of ways.
Indeed, and it was said, and I think wisely so, that but for him, a number of the movies he was in never could have been made. For example, take Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah.
Imagine someone else doing that.
Mm.
Who else could do Aladdin like he did?
Mm.
Almost all of the lines of which were improvised.
Mm-hmm.
They just stopped writing a script for him because there was no point to it.
But yeah.
Yeah, great guy. So we're going to do our normal show.
Okay.
And for our guest, we will be featuring and remembering some of the best moments of Robin Williams.
That sounds beautiful. Well, we've said this before. We'll say it again. Radio Caravan, of course, appears on Cox Channel 3, 8 p.m. Saturdays and 12 noon Sundays. This weekend is the show we did with Terry Corwin, who is founder and executive director of Lion's Heart, a nonprofit community service organization for teens. And, of course, you'll learn about Terry on tonight's show, that she was named one of the 20 women to watch by OC Metro Magazine in 2013. And, of course, she appeared on the Katie Couric show as a woman who should be famous. So that's tonight, 8 p.m., Channel 3, 12 noon tomorrow, Channel 3, 250,000 Cox Cable TV subscribers. Jill?
I was just saying, wow.
Wow.
That's exciting.
That's impressive.
I'm pretty sure, Jill, this is your debut on Cox tonight, too.
No, is it?
Do you know if you've been on the show?
I don't know. I kind of get nervous about that.
Wow.
Well, everybody.
You're going to get mobbed in public now.
I guess so, yeah. I'll wear a helmet.
If you want to see what we look like, Robert, April, Katie, Jill, and myself, you'll definitely be able to see some of that tonight. So, I want to give a shout out to our good friend from the islands, Henry Capono.
Don't yeah, do that. Man.
Wrong island.
Not that island, man.
Yeah, but if you're interested in winning two round trip tickets from any from Alaskan Airlines destination, 4-night stay in the Ali Suite at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, Ali's Tower, and two tickets and VIP passes to the Henry Capono and Friends Back in the Day concert at the Waikiki Shell on 23 August. When is that? That's like in a week or two.
Sure is.
Artists include Calipanes, Jerry Santos, Willie K, John Cruz, etc. Visit www.backinthedayhawaii.com. www.backinthedayhawaii.com. If you've never heard or seen Henry Capono, he's an incredible artist, a really kind of a really gentle soul. One of those guys that walks in the room and you just want to embrace this guy. So
I like it.
Yep, very cool. Do we have police blotter stuff going on today?
We do, and I'm gonna dedicate it to Laguna Larry and Nick. This is a shout out to my buddies.
That's right. You mentioned him a couple weeks ago,
Laguna Larry. Yep, they're listening. They just sent me a text. They're loving the show. So
very
thanks
nice.
For listening. So, these are some tips for Laguna Larry and Nick. Yes, you think it's a beautiful world out there? Safe, calm, peaceful, Laguna. You are so bloody wrong.
You know, just hearing
it's
is
a
funny.
Cesspool of hell out there. Slime, crime everywhere. It's virtually Sin City South.
Sin
Here
City.
Are but a few of the tidbits from this week's Street Beat. Are you prepared for this level of porosity?
Yes.
I doubt it. Traffic collision. St. Anne's Drive, a woman who sideswiped a semi,
okay, jeez,
thereafter proceeded to accidentally back into a mint-condition Cadillac.
Wow.
Destroying it.
Was there any alcohol involved in that accident?
She was not arrested for any DUI, so I think it was just a very bad
driver. Accident.
Yeah. So here's an interesting one. A citizen called in concerned over the safety of a bicyclist who at 2:45 in the morning was driving wearing only black clothing, swerving without a light.
Huh.
He was immediately arrested. I don't know what the crime of being that stupid is, but they pulled him over. Okay, here's a walking tax dead. A fraud. A Laguna Beach woman learned that the IRS had been sending her dead husband's checks to a woman in Florida for years.
Hmm.
How do you do that?
How do you do what?
How did the woman in Florida know that the husband was dead and get the checks and get him sent?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
maybe it was an affair.
Oh.
Ooh, the plot thickens.
Scandalous.
Got some bad news and some bad news. Your husband's dead and his lover is taking all of your money. Okay. Well, maybe she killed him. Maybe she learned. Ooh, here we go. Here's a Captain Obvious here. Traffic collision. A driver, after being slammed into by a black Bentley, claimed neck injury. Duh. Who's not going to claim neck injury?
No, totally.
Yeah. It's like, a driver hit by a 62 Toyota pickup was just fine. But the one hit by the Bentley
has got
serious,
injuries.
Serious neck injuries. Here's my point. Oh, this should be the Tony Stewart Award here, actually, which there's nothing very funny about that. This woman's got gumption, though. All right, golf course pursuit ends in arrest. This happened in Laguna. You don't see this every day. I like this. A motorist was caught driving on the first fairway of the ranch golf course at 1:49 a.m. on Friday, August 8th.
Huh.
Undaunted, she led police on a chase through the golf course.
Wow.
With police in chase. She thereafter crashed through three gates, plowed into a truck, spun around, and finally crashed the car into a tree. Jennifer Cadero, 27, of Irvine, was arrested. Ready for this? DUI, suspended license, fleeing arrest and destruction of property. That's pretty bold for around here, isn't it?
Yeah, there must have been something going on that night she wasn't happy about.
I wonder if she asked her if she could play through before she took off flying. Poor golf etiquette.
Yeah, poor golf etiquette.
So there you have it. That's just a sample.
How is your golf game, by the way?
It's funny to watch.
Is it? Are you any good? You have some athletic?
I have some sparks of genius. But
Where are you the strongest in your game, would you say?
Putting is very good.
Okay. Where are you the weakest?
Keeping the ball in the fairway.
Gotcha.
That's important.
And you play how often?
Well, once a month or so. I'm like at 90-something.
Really?
Yeah, and then I make the turn. No, in the 90s.
Uh-huh. And then you always kind of, is it a full day of golf for you, and you end up at sort of that 19th hole? And
a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. We like to golf like 9 holes and get a quick lunch is good.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. And where would you play 9 holes typically?
I'm a member of El Nigel.
Okay. Interesting, Robert. Interesting. And you told me outside here that you're heading out of town Tuesday, and we should let listeners know that the next 2 weeks we have shows coming in. We've got, by the way, next weekend we have an expert, really probably our most prestigious list of guests coming in, medical professionals on stem cell therapy. And the week after that, we've got author T. Jefferson Parker, who used to live in Laguna. His first book was Laguna Heat, made into a movie. He's got his new novel out, a literary novel, no less. But you're going to be gone.
But you'll be carrying the Radio Caravan torch proudly.
We're going to carry the torch without you. It's going to be a struggle, but want to tell us where you're going and what you're going
to
be doing?
Going to China. We'll be sightseeing, doing all kinds of fun things.
Uh-huh.
From Beijing to Shanghai to seeing the first triplets born of pandas in captivity.
That's going to be
the
great.
The panda preserve.
Yeah.
And Yangtze River, all that good stuff.
It's going to be a great trip for you.
Terracotta Warriors, love those guys.
Yeah. And you're flying first class.
Of course.
You got the pod.
Yes.
And the pod's just like the cone of silence. You just, it closes you up. And
no, not a full pod. That's on JetBlue has the pod.
Oh, okay. You have a half a pod.
Kind of a half a pod.
Half pod kind of guy. Okay.
I never thought of myself that way, but yeah.
All right. What do we have about town?
Now, you bet. Your man about town.
Thank you, April. Right on time.
All right. WWE is slamming into town with Stone Cold Steve Austin on Sunday. So there's 3 days. Yeah, you go down there. You watch the sport. They slam you around like a girly man that you are.
That's pretty good.
Get down. You do the chopper. Okay. So
that's pretty good.
Wrestling is coming to Staples Center. Thank you so much for 3 days. So I thought you want to see that Saturday, Sunday.
Wrestling.
Right. Don't want to miss that. Speaking of that, the Expendables 3 are out. Fabulous. The first one made $100 million. The second one, they got to the chopper. And in this one, it's not so good. But it's the third one you might want to go see.
I don't even know what you said.
The Expendables.
Oh, the Expendables. Got
Schwarzenegger,
you.
Okay. Shockingly, actually in that movie.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Playing an expendable old war soldier along with 35 other washed-up guys. Speaking of washed-up, you can go see Fall Out Boy and Paramore playing at Verizon Amphitheater.
Okay.
They're not too bad.
Yeah.
Sold out. They're playing tonight. One of my favorites. You got Adam Duritz of Counting Crows. You guys ever see that band? A lot of fun.
He's a great lyricist, that guy.
He is indeed. He's also got crazy-ass hair.
Yeah. Does he still?
He does indeed. Yeah. He's a great singer. He's kind of a tortured
But is it with Counting Crows or is it just him?
No, it's the whole band, Counting Crows.
Where is that at?
That, my friend, would be at the Greek on Sunday and Toad the Wet Sprockets opening. Another fine band.
I'd like to get that Adam Duritz in, April. Why don't we reach out and see if we can get that guy in? He'd be fun.
All right, you may be an Allman Brothers fan.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That was good.
It broke out.
That was as good as my Schwarzenegger. Get down to the coach house. Okay, so the coach house, Dickie Betts is coming up there on the 23rd.
Yeah, I know.
Remember him, the Allman Brothers?
Sure.
And shout out, we got Wang Chung. You can go down to Wang Chung down.
Everybody
can. They're there October 11th, October 16th, Asia. Remember Asia?
Sure.
Very, very good band. Yeah. And my favorite, Todd Rundgren. November 25th. I bought my tickets yesterday.
You did? For the coach house?
Yep.
You like the coach house? Where do you sit when you go to the coach house?
I sit front center.
Front center for you?
Yeah.
In those long tables?
Just give the guy $20, a big smile, and you'll get a nice seat.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, let's give a shout out to the coach house, by the way. I met with a woman there the other day, and I think they're going to be a great supporter. They are already a great supporter of this radio station, and we've reached out and tried to get some of their artists in here. That's how we ended up with Henry Capono, in fact.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we've actually reached out for some others, so hopefully we'll make that happen.
Great music venue.
Great music venue, yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of great venues, Pageant Masters is having their celebrity concert with Al Jarreau on Saturday, August 23rd. And then you get to see the entire show, The Art Detective, which is a fabulous version
of
the pageant this year. I strongly encourage you to go see it. I, however, do not strongly encourage you to go see Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's kind of old.
What?
The music's good.
Yeah.
There's
some good stuff going on there.
It's just not at the top of my list. But if you want to go, he's playing tonight at Seagram Hall, which is a great venue. But I will recommend to you, although it's no Sharknado, Megalodon on Shark Week. You know, it's the ancient prehistoric giant shark.
Wow.
So those are just but a tasting of some of the fun things going on in Orange County this week.
But a tasting. By the way, I was talking with Katie earlier, Katie Fetters, and I didn't know this, but your parents own a fitness gym. Tell me the name of the fitness gym and where it's located.
It's called the Training Spot in Huntington Beach.
And it's what kind of gym is it? Is it a?
It's a personal training gym, so private exercise. We have one-on-one sessions and semi-private sessions, you could call them, with three or four people. And they're hour-long sessions. And we have about four or five trainers between two gyms. And that's
you have two trainers named Jim.
Two trainers, or four or five trainers between our two gyms that we have. We have two locations in Huntington Beach.
And where are the locations in Huntington Beach?
One is actually on Main Street.
Okay.
About four blocks up from the beach.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is a little bit more inland by Ocean View High School on Gothard and Warner.
Okay. And you said you were opening a third.
Yes. We just announced that we're opening our third gym on Harbor and Adams. And we're really excited about
that.
Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah. So I'm really happy for my parents. They're doing really well.
And your parents' names are?
Paul and Carolyn Fetters.
And Paul, you were saying that Paul is a bodybuilder.
Yes.
And he competed. He won Mr.
America.
Mr. America?
Really?
Yeah. In 1997 when he was 40. So I think that was a pretty big thing for him. He was.
That's the guy that beat me. Yeah, I'm still angry.
And we just saw some YouTube of him, and he competed when he turned 50 as well.
Yes. Yeah, so I think he was around 53 or so, and it was for the 2007 State of California, and then he went on to the Nationals in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania later that year, and he got second.
Wow.
So he was really happy about that.
Is your mom real fit too?
Yeah, my mom's a runner. She's not a bodybuilder, thankfully, in my opinion. But it's been really fun. My parents are super into health and fitness as well, and my mom has her own nutrition program. And they've just really developed that over the year as our family business.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's a neat environment to grow up in.
Very
it's a little
cool.
High pressure, but
yeah,
it's good.
Katie's very natural voiced on the radio, don't
Isn't
you think?
She, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just really comfortable and relaxed, and you have
Thank
a nice
you.
Voice for radio.
Thank
and this
you.
Is you go to Soka University?
I do.
And school starts back up?
September 2nd, I move back into the dorms for my senior year.
For your senior year, yeah. And you're getting your degree is in?
Liberal Arts.
Peace.
Liberal Arts.
I thought it was World Peace.
World Peace.
That's definitely a part of it, for sure. I guess
are
you could call
Buddhist?
It a concentration.
I know there are a lot of Buddhists over there. Are you Buddhist
yes.
in faith?
I'm not a Buddhist personally, but I really enjoy I can appreciate the practice of Buddhism and the spirituality behind it. I really like that, and I learn a lot about that from the other students.
I do too. It's
so it's really
religion.
Neat. Yeah, it's cool.
All right. Also, we got, of course, our healthy lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey, how are you this morning?
Fabulous. How are
Fabulous.
You?
Fabulous. Doing great. And did we sort of decide what the focus of your segment here this morning is going to be?
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, the tragic loss of Robin, it's about depression and anxiety in our world, you know,
okay.
and the causes and the symptoms and, you know, what's going on with it, with treatment. And, you know, I'm by no means an expert in this. I'm not a psychologist. But in my studies of just depression in general, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, right now is coming from, there can be so many forms of it, too. You can have coming from post-traumatic stress disorder. You can have it from loss, from trauma in life. You know, there are so many ways that, you know, depression can come in. And it's how we all are taught to deal with it as well. So, you know, when you look at depression, you know, it can go from mild to severe and clinical. And when you look at the symptoms, you can have symptoms where people just lose interest in life, a loss of appetite. They are extremely fatigued. They have a feeling of hopelessness. And, you know, it goes on and on to when it becomes dangerous and there's suicidal thoughts. And that's when you really need to pull in a social network with that. You know, you need to know your sources. And you have seasonal affective disorder, SAD, too, where people who live in winter climates, they get that seasonal disorder. And that's huge because I lived in Chicago, and it's a tough one to battle, that lack of sunshine and those gray days. So, you know, but there are so many ways. I tend to look at most things in a proactive manner. You know, what can I do to help myself or help someone else? When you look at different causes of it as well, I really want to put a thing out there with the social media now. You know, you have Facebook and you have people comparing their lives on there. And it can be depressing for some people. And it has led to some people committing suicide.
Yeah, they call it Facebook depression, I guess, because it looks like everybody else is doing so many fun things and wonderful things. And here you are like a toad sitting in your little hovel down there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that people need to remove themselves from that. I think social media has a place, but I think it has a very big dysfunctional place as well. You know, a lot of people love it for the fact, you know, like Facebook, they get a cyber audience, you know, and whether they're making things up or it's true, there's this constant need for this gratification and attention. And, you know, so I also looked at, you know, in the causes, too, there can be people who are suffering in chronic pain or disease or cancer. All these things can stem, but it really is coming from empowering ourselves, getting an educational background, seeking help. There can also be nutritional deficiencies. That would be in the mild, you know, area, and we'll get into some of the things that you can take for that. But I look at also, there's genetic. They are now researching a lot of genetic when it's running in the family. It's bipolar. It's, you know. But if you know that, again, empower yourself. Start treatment early. In the treatment area, too, we have nutritionally, your B vitamins, your fish oil, B12 and B6 especially, and vitamin D, that sunshine. Mm-hmm. So that's the seasonal affective disorder vitamin. And they're really making great strides with that. They're finding people who are depressed, if they up their vitamin D and their fish oils, they're having remarkable results with that. And then, you know, you have medication. Sometimes they're cooperative. Sometimes you're medicated. You get psychotherapy. There are many clinics you can go to, and nutritional. But I like stress management, meditation. You know, I tend to shy away, and I would never tell people to do this, but personally, from my perspective, try the alternative therapies before you turn to pharmaceuticals.
Right.
I mean, because we all laugh at the commercials, right? So here's all these, and there are tons of commercials for anxiety and depression medicine now, and it's a huge issue in our society, but they all cause diarrhea or vision problems.
So now, effects is
So now you're...
Zoloft is my favorite.
The Zoloft, yeah.
Poor little guy hopping around.
Yeah.
I actually once did a fake Zoloft commercial for my firm, and I was told I couldn't show it. And when I asked why, they said a lot of the people at the firm are on Zoloft.
Oh.
I'm like, okay.
That's incredible.
So we changed the commercial to Daylift.
Yeah. You know, but I laugh because now you're not only depressed, you're walking around pooping your pants, you can't see. I mean, you know, this is like, you know.
Nice working pooping, yeah.
We went there.
We were told, Scooty, that you don't like the word poop.
But I think also some things you can do.
I've never seen you silent before.
But, you know, get up. We're rolling. But, you know,
keep moving.
Finding ways, you know, wake up every day. And I know we've heard this before, but keep a gratitude journal.
Speaking of waking up today, you look a little pooped. Did you sleep okay last night?
I look pooped. No, I slept great.
Poopy head.
I just, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to go teach yoga. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
We're not filming right
now.
But thanks.
Well, Jill, I mean, we probably all know people in our lives who at one time or another have been depressed. Maybe some of us in this room have gone through phases of our life where we've had a certain amount of depression for whatever reasons, right?
Right.
Thank you, April, for opening those up. It kind of brings a little... April's opening the curtains for us, brings a little sunshine to our life. Thank you. A little vitamin D.
Yeah, a little vitamin D.
So we're all feeling a little lighter right now. But, you know, as a person who comes across somebody who may be depressed in my immediate circle, what do you think the best sort of solution to that problem is? I mean, how do you address that issue with somebody? How do you recognize, and you may not have the answers to these, this is sort of open up for the medical staff here. I mean, how do you recognize that somebody is suffering from a deep, deep depression, and then how do you sort of help that person get through that process? Robert, what do you think?
I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I mean, have you known people in your life who...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it can be very debilitating, and they tend to spiral down, and... Mm-hmm. Just trying to get them, like with any problem, get them to acknowledge there is a problem, I think is the first step and the most important step, and then go for counseling and training from there.
Yeah. I mean, the news reports seem to indicate that Robin Williams was severely depressed. That's my understanding.
Yes.
And he had also been diagnosed with...
Parkinson's.
And I don't know if that... I wonder if that contributed to that process, but I can't imagine. I think it had to have been the depression. I mean, if you're so to the point where you can... cut slits in your wrist and hang yourself from a belt in the closet. How do you get to that point? And was he not on meds? I mean, these are fair questions.
Say all of that.
All that and
all
more.
And
what do you mean,
well,
April?
Everything from being diagnosed with Parkinson's. I mean,
it just piles up on you.
Yeah,
right?
It piles up. It's like he probably just had enough. And just putting up the front that he did for so long, like he couldn't be normal. He had to be happy. He had to be outgoing because that's what people
expected. That's who he was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't that get tiring if you think about it?
The irony, friends that were close to him say that the final straw that broke his back, oddly enough, was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Why is that?
He had just signed on to do Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Yeah.
And he told his friends that while he loved the creative process of making movies, the worst thing you could ever do is make a sequel. That's admitting failure. And he had just agreed to sign on to do Night at the Museum 3, which bothered him. But having to do Doubtfire again, his close friend said, drove him crazy. He had some financial difficulties.
Oh, he did.
And he had to sell his mansion in Napa. And a number of the stories have circulated that said that the money issues were piling up on him. Hmm. And his loss of self, loss of self-worth. Mm-hmm. They just canceled his TV show. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think the man's brilliant and always would be. Mm-hmm. But when you're at that level, coming off that plateau has to be crushing, I would think.
Yeah.
And
losing his show for the first time, not succeeding at something, and then going on to have to sell his home, and then having to do remakes, and then getting Parkinson's. It probably just piled up on it and overwhelmed him. And his friend said he was wasting away physically and withdrawing.
Wow.
And that's one of the signs that withdrawing. But, you know, I think there was a quote. Robin Williams was talking about being a celebrity, and it can be very lonely because, you know, you go out in public, you're mobbed, so you're at home. And he said he doesn't have a problem being lonely, but it's when you're surrounded by people who make you feel lonely. Because in that scene also, you're not sure who's really your friend, who's out to be your friend. You know, it becomes a very kind of discouraging situation. So it was a very strong statement.
It could be like you're out in public with people you don't, I mean, people you know, and we're out in public and everybody's sort of on their best behavior, but in the privacy of their home with maybe their significant other only, that's the only time they may exhibit those sorts of depressive behaviors, right?
Yeah. But I think, you know, I've lost people to depression and addiction, and I think what happens when they're depressed and there's such pain that you can't describe for them, that emotional suffering or that thought that they're not normal in society, then they start self-medicating on top of the medication they have, and then you have a cocktail bomb, you know, of everything that can go wrong, and it starts creating all different sorts of, you know, abnormalities in your psychology and your physiology. And
you have to look at his background. I mean, the reason he is who he is he was a little fat kid. He was very, very fat, and he had no friends.
This is Robin Williams.
That's how he got all the voices. And he would use those voices to entertain himself and to try and get other people to like him. And the addiction, as you know, he was very addicted to cocaine in the 80s. And he and Robert De Niro were the last two people to see John Belushi alive at the Marriott Hotel, number 3. And he went cold turkey after that and self-treated himself and stepped in cocaine, but then drifted, as you know, heavily into alcoholism and struggled with that. But he was sober for more than 20 years. We have yet to see the toxicology reports, but he was clearly a guy that had demons that he was battling with his whole life.
Yeah, but he was a genius. And I think when you were asking Scott, you know, what we can do, you know, I've just been around friends, and there's a point you can offer them help. You let them know you're there for them, but it's their own personal spiral. It's their own personal nightmare that they're kind of going through, and they will isolate themselves. And, you know, on that note, too, there are, we here in Newport Beach, we have an anxiety and depression treatment center that's pretty well known. So if people want to look that up, and they can always Google other depression help centers. And then you also have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And if, you know, we'll just put that out there, you never know. It's 1-800-273-TALK, and that would be 8255. So 1-800-273-8255. And, you know, I mean, none of us can know unless we've been there. I think, again, there's such a price put on being happy every day that people think they have to wake up and be happy, but it's okay. You can be sad. You know, embrace your sadness, embrace your anger, but it's when it carries on and on and on, and it becomes chronic, and then it becomes something deeper. That's when you need to seek help.
Yeah, so. And I think of a form of treating yourself or helping yourself, too, when you're scared to ask others, is maybe just go outside for a nice walk.
Absolutely.
And just have a conversation with yourself and why you're feeling that way. And if you don't know why you're feeling that way, then just try to be in that moment and deal with it and just work through it. And it's okay if the next day you don't wake up happy, but just keep trying.
I love that, because we have such a social policing out there. We have people constantly policing thoughts, policing behaviors, and then people start to wonder if they're normal. And, you know, Wayne Dyer had said, be above the good opinion of other people and you'll be happy. And I love that. I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
If he could just have seen the outpouring of love for him now that he's gone, maybe that would have changed his whole life. But you don't know that until it's too late. Dennis Miller was a good friend. He said if he just made one more phone call to one more friend, he might not have killed himself.
Yeah.
So it's that reaching out. Absolutely incredible.
He was amazing.
We had a conversation with a guy recently. I said we, April and I, because we were working on a project down here filming something. And this guy was saying that in high school he was very short. You had mentioned Robin Williams being very heavy.
Yes.
And this friend of ours was very short. I think it was like 5 foot tall or something like this. Not even. And so he was naturally sort of picked on in high school. And he was telling the most embarrassing moment. The most embarrassing moment was that these athletes wrapped him up in, was it toilet paper?
Wrapped his whole
naked body up in toilet paper.
Wow.
And stuck him in the locker room. And then the coach came into the locker room and had to kind of start cutting this guy's, you know, all this stuff that had been wrapped around him where he couldn't move. And he said the coach was started. He noticed that the coach was starting to bleed down his lip because he was trying to prevent himself. The coach was trying to prevent himself from laughing. That he was biting down on his lip. And that our friend was saying that was his most embarrassing moment. And I thought to myself, and I think we even said this to him, well, that's not embarrassing for you. That was embarrassing for the people who put you there. Yeah. How embarrassing for the coach to laugh at that.
Yep.
And how embarrassing for the athletes to do something like that to you because you were 5 foot tall at the time.
Horrible.
He reflects back on that, not with suicidal thoughts, but with a sort of sense of humor about it. But, you know, that's just sort of how he approached it, as opposed to maybe how Robin Williams approached it.
But does humor cover? I mean, is humor a cover sometimes, you know? And it's just so sad to me that our society still in this time has such prejudices against certain people or, you know, any kind of difference to them. If they're not in that person's lens and scope of life, they're different. And it's really sad. I mean, this bullying thing is terrible.
Robert, you're always a happy guy, and I know I don't want to belabor this whole sort of depression sort of commentary here, but you always seem to be up and happy, and maybe it's alcohol fueled most of the time. I don't know.
Perfectly sober right now, and at least for the next 15 minutes. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, though, do you have your moments of being down, and how do you deal with those yourself?
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
I don't think I have as many as some people. Mm-hmm. You just always reflect on the positive, mm-hmm. having children, having mm-hmm. a wife you love, mm-hmm. having dogs, having friends, having family,
what
having
would
music.
If he had called you, Robin Williams had called you as a friend, what would you have advised him?
Well, that's a good question. I would have gone and seen him personally. Mm-hmm. I would have made him promise to give me an hour and a half to get there, and I would have chartered a plane and gone up to my friend and just physically held him and hugged him.
Mm-hmm. Jill, exercise, diet, you think contributes to elevating moods?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it increases those feel-good hormones, for mm-hmm. sure. And I think, again, doing it in a group, you know, don't isolate yourself. Get out there, walk with friends, you know, go exercise, eat well. Trying to be that proactive. If you wake up and you're not feeling happy, or be okay with that. Go out, journal, you know. And again, I do believe in looking, find one thing in your life that is good, mm-hmm. you know, and definitely get the support of friends, but nutrition, exercise.
Okay.
Yeah, all those things.
Do we want to play a little something from Robin Williams? Is this a good time for that, Robert, you think? Why don't you tell us what we're going to hear since we're on this subject?
Well, we started off with Good Morning Vietnam, which
we did.
Is one of his most brilliant. So let's play a little bit of Robin Williams. Going back to Vietnam and making the best out of a bad situation.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee. Freddy and the Dreamers.
The wrong speed. We've got it on the wrong speed. For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
Let's pull it right back down. Let's try a little faster, see if that picks it up a little bit. Let's get up on 718. Those pilots are going right now. I really like the music. Oh, still a bad song.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better. This new viv. Freddy is a devil. This new viv. Freddy is a devil. Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Phuong Thanh. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot than this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, what is hot? I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. What do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean. AFBN, rocking you from the Delta to the DMZ. AFBN, better than AFVD, which means you have to get a quick shot. We're moving on right now. Here's a little riddle for you. What's the difference between the Army and the Cub Scouts? Cub Scouts don't have heavy artillery.
again. I'm Adrian Cronauer. I'm only getting 1,600. Why? Because I have to. It's the Army.
Talking out the field today. Hi, what's your name?
Hey, Bob Fibber.
Bob, what do you do?
I'm in artillery.
Thank you, Bob. Isn't we play anything for you? Anything. Just play it loud, okay?
No, I have to admit something to you. I just came from Crete with women that look like Zorba.
Woo, thank you. Those girls are just so pretty. Gomer, are you here in Vietnam? Yes, I am. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Linda, why did you name your daughter Linda Bird?
Because Linda Dog would be too cruel.
Ah, easy, girl.
Easy. You know, if you pick them up by their ears, it doesn't hurt them as much.
Oh, you're going straight to hell for that one. Watch out over there.
Here's an incredible coincidence. Ho Chi Minh, Colonel Sanders, actually the same person.
You be the judge. Our lines are open. Something real special right now. We've got our traffic report up there on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. How's it going up there?
Adrian, it's not going exactly well. There's a water buffalo jackknife up there. It's not a very pretty picture. There's horns everywhere. I don't know what to say. We're going to maybe drop in a little napalm there and try and cook him down. Maybe a little barbecue.
We've got a special man in the audience today right now. It's Mr. Leo.
He's a fashion consultant for the Army. But thank you, Adrian. I'm just very happy to be here. I want to tell you something. You know, this whole camouflage thing for me doesn't work very well. Why is that? Well, because you go in the jungle, I can't see you. You know, it's like wearing stripes and plaid. It, for me, I want to do something different. You know, you go in the jungle, make a statement if you're going to fight, clash. You know what I mean? Thank you for that lovely tune. That
and thank you, Robin Williams, for those wonderful, wonderful memories. Well, we wanted to find someone to accentuate Robin in the musical world, and we wanted to find someone who also was and is a genius and a pioneer and did something very differently than many other people and still brings pleasure to the world. And we think we found that person in one Peter Gabriel. Peter was born in England many, many years ago, and most of you know him originally as going on in 1967 to founding the band Genesis. But we're not going to talk about Genesis. We're going to talk about Peter today. Peter, as you may know, broke up from Genesis in 1975, and the world thought the band would fall apart. They auditioned many singers, couldn't find anybody to sing, and oddly enough, the young drummer in the back said, "I think I can sing," and that was Phil Collins, took him to a new era. Peter broke up with the band because his wife was having a child and was very, very ill, and rather than touring with the band, he stayed home to care for her and told them to go on without him.
Wow.
Very depressing time in his life. Wrote his first solo song, wrote his first hit. It's self-introspective about leaving the band. Beautiful tune, Salisbury Hill. We'll listen to it now.
I didn't get to play my Legends of Rock thing.
No, do you want to?
Can I?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Legends of Rock.
Legends of Rock. Rock, 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 rock.
Okay, now let's do a little Salisbury Hill, his first hit about
Salisbury
leaving
Hill.
The band Genesis.
Is this Genesis?
Nope, we're doing just Peter Gabriel today.
Okay with this song.
He was something to observe. Came in close, I heard a voice. Standing, stretching every nerve.
Robert doing the twist.
Listen, had no choice. I did not believe the information.
Do you know Peter Gabriel?
Just had to trust imagination. My heart goes.
So we went on in 1978 and teamed up with Robert Fripp, who at the time was a revolutionary guitar player and recordist, used all kinds of bizarre things to do and record, but came up with a pretty decent album. More importantly, they came up with what's known as the reverse gated sound. If you've ever heard of Phil Collins' drum set, it sounds different than any other drum set in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you gate it. You add a lot of reverb to the snare, and then you cut it off immediately. Hmm. It creates a very distinctive sound whenever you hear it. Boom, 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 boom. Those are all gated. That was invented by Robert Fripp and Peter Gabriel. And it's an amazing sound used today.
That's interesting.
And there are no cymbals. If you think of the sound, it's always just pounding very rhythmic drums.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel was a big fan of world music, and he tried to incorporate that. So his big hit off that album, Games Without Frontiers. a very different percussion sound here.
Yeah.
And Phil Collins oddly played on a number of his albums, too.
Right. I don't know that I know this song.
Only made it to number 48 in the U.S., number 2 in the U.K.
Hans plays with Lottie, Lottie plays with Jane, Jane plays with Willie, Willie is happy again, Suki plays with Leo.
Katie knows.
Then went on with his next album, one of the first albums ever recorded on digital tape. Indeed, there wasn't even a studio. He had a truck from Sony Music come in and pull upside his house. And over the summer, he recorded his first album, all on digital tape. And indeed, he used a Fairlight sampling computer, which at the time was almost the only one on the planet. So very innovative, doing things nobody else had done. Nobody else would ever come up with a song called Shock the Monkey. This one you know.
Yeah.
Very Talking Heads kind of feel.
Yeah. This is not my wife. This is not my...
Again, very worldly, rhythmic sound.
Yeah.
All right, so we began touring extensively during this period, and I actually got to see him when I was in law school. It's extraordinary. The whole band had their head shaved. They had elaborate stage setting. They pogo-sticked around the stage. It was very innovative for its time. Now, of course, everybody does it. Well, it came to 1986, and he came up with, in my opinion, one of the best albums ever created. Until then, none of his albums had names. They were all just called Peter Gabriel, and they had a different weird photo of him on the cover. So he was forced by his label to give it a name, and he said, I don't care. So they picked two random letters. It happened to be the letters S and O. The album So came out. It became one of the most popular albums in history. Rolling Stone ranked it number 14 of the 80s. And Of the 80s, number 187, best album of all time. Mm-hmm. I think it's far better than that. Spun a number of hits off of that. Some of the most incredible songs you'll ever hear. Five times platinum, the number one song on there. Everybody's favorite, the number one song ever played on MTV video to this day.
Really?
Sledgehammer.
Wow. This had the cool video that went with it.
Number one video of all time, too.
Yeah.
It's the power that comes in here is extraordinary.
I love this song, Red Rain.
Gorgeous song. Those drums sound?
Yeah.
Magical.
I am standing up, but the water is aging my
soul album. So that was it all. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to envision a heartbroken John Cusack standing outside his girlfriend's house. He's holding up his boombox, and for all time, everyone remembers that scene and this song in your eyes.
Great song. Best song he wrote, probably. Yeah.
Move on to 1982 when his second album came out. Again, he wanted nothing to do with the name, so they picked two more letters, U and S. 1992, Us came out. It had two hits off it. He tried to recreate kind of the feel of Sledgehammer, I think, with his next tune, Steam. Very funky. He's got a big old purple suit on, a purple hat, walking down a red carpet on this one, remember? Stand back.
Stand back.
During the period of this album, he'd gone through a divorce and lost contact with his daughter. Wrote the very, very odd and depressing Digging in the Dirt, which if you've ever seen the video, shows him being eaten kind of by bullwinkles, laying on the ground with worms around him. But it's nonetheless a beautiful song, the very introspective Digging in the Dirt. Everything's rhythmic with him.
Let's start a band.
With Peter Gabriel. I thought I'd save the best for last, which is obviously off the So album as well, and I thought it would be a parting tribute to Mr. Williams. A very uplifting song about hope. It was the most beautiful duet I think he ever wrote. The late Kate Bush, Don't Give Up. He would, of course, go on to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame not once, but twice. 2010 for Genesis, 2014, all on his own. He actually won a Man of Peace from the Nobel Peace Prize for his humanitarian work.
Wow.
And Time Magazine, even one of the 100 most influential people. Six-time Grammy winner, Peter Gabriel. Let's go out of this tumor.
I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name, but no one wants you when you lose.
Don't give up, 'cause you have friends.
And there you have it, my friend, the amazing Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Robert. I wasn't really into Peter Gabriel, you know, like a lot of people were, but I certainly know a lot of his songs, and incredible performer, incredible songwriter.
Of course, went on to do the soundtrack for Passion of the Christ. He's sponsored world music festivals. He's been quite an innovator.
Did you see that movie, Passion of the Christ?
I did not.
No, why not?
I did want to really see my Lord be beaten to death and crucified.
Yeah, that was a brutal movie. No doubt about it. So, all right, we got 10 minutes. What do you want to do?
Well, we're going to talk about Robin for a bit.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I'd start with some Robin trivia here. 1987, guess who was voted funniest man on the planet?
Robin Williams.
There you go. So Gary Marshall was creating a new show, wanted to have a special character on Happy Days. He thought he'd try out this character called Mork for Mork. And Gary Marshall said Robin Williams came in, and to audition, he stood on his head on a chair and began speaking in gibberish. And he said, guess why I hired him? Because he was actually the only alien who auditioned. And that, of course,
I remember that show, though.
That was the start of his career. You may not know this, but he and Christopher Reeve were very good friends. I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
You know how they met?
College.
Juilliard.
Oh.
Juilliard School. And they remained very good friends until Reeve's death. He won the Best Award for Comedy Album, 2003. And in 1996, we have more friends coming in. Two of his movies, $100 million each in 1 year.
Which two?
Probably Doubtfire, and I forget what the other one is.
Uh-huh.
He was voted least likely to succeed in his high school class.
Wow.
He was also voted most humorous. Oddly enough, even though he despised the Iraqi war and spoke out on it publicly, guess who did more tours in Vietnam? Excuse me, in Vietnam, how funny. In Iraq to entertain the troops than any other human being.
Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. He was named the Bob Hope of Iraq. That's how frequently he was
That's
over
nice.
There.
That's a nice trip.
And they absolutely loved him. Okay, got more. Everyone knows his hero was Jonathan Winters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He also loved Richard Pryor, were his two mentors.
Hmm.
And guess what language he spoke fluently other than Morkanese and English?
Russian.
French.
Ooh, he was really, that surprises me.
That's cool.
Yeah. How did the cast on Schindler's List get through filming that movie without being so depressed they almost wanted to blow their own brains out every day? Robin Williams would call them up at least once a week, gather them around a cell phone, and he would do Aladdin imitations on the phone to cheer them up.
Wow. Is that a true story?
That is a true story.
Well, who set that up, I wonder? I mean, that was a Spielberg movie, right?
He and Spielberg were friends.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Isn't that funny? He was also very good friends, oddly enough, with John Travolta. Hmm. And Eric Idle. He loved Monty Python. That was one of his favorites of all time.
But I'm not dead yet.
Exactly. Three of his films were actually nominated for Best Picture. Can you name them?
Three of his films were nominated for Best Pictures. Okay, Jill, go. What?
Good Will Hunting.
Okay, one.
Yep.
April, two.
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams, two. Katie.
Nope, that's not Patch Adams.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Nope.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Good Will Hunting.
Well, honey.
And the third one, Awakenings. Good job.
Awakenings was so good.
All right, I told you this before the show, but it's kind of fascinating. When his death was announced in the United Kingdom on BBC News, at the time they announced it, BBC Three had just broadcast The Family Guy, a special episode where Peter Griffin wishes that everyone on the planet Earth was Robin Williams.
Aww.
He's then struck by lightning, and he gains the power to touch people and turn them into Robin Williams. And that's what was playing when they announced his death.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that amazing?
That's really bizarre, yeah. April, what do you remember of Robin Williams? Do you have sort of a fond memory or anything that sort of resonates for you?
I have a lot of them. I mean, I really liked him, and I think I've seen every movie he's been in, I can say. But Patch Adams was kind of a big one because he was funny like he always is, but he had these serious moments, too. And it was just a good movie altogether, good message, good... And you could kind of see, like, that big heart in him coming out. And, you know, I think he was really a good guy.
Jill, how about you? What do you remember of Robin Williams?
You know, his ability. I mean, someone who can make you belly laugh to where you're peeing your pants. I mean, I just love that. His playfulness, his energy. You know, and there was a movie, one of my movies. It was an offbeat movie, What Dreams May Come. Did you guys ever see that? Really bizarre. Filmed incredibly, very much like you were on an acid trip. But he had... met a woman, married, they had two kids, they lost the kids, they went into their own depression and almost divorce, and then the wife ended up, Robin Williams' character was killed in a car accident, His wife then committed suicide, and he was on a mission to find her in her so-called hell on the other side. Very intense.
Yeah, interesting. What dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Katie.
I think just a good memory I have of him is just all the characters he played, really. And there's this movie. I remember we were talking about all the movies he was in, but Flubber. Have
Flubber?
You heard of that?
That's was it like right. the round ball yeah. thing that bounces?
It was like this. I don't even remember the plot or anything, but it was like this green goop stuff that he, I think he was a scientist or something, and he invented this stuff, and I don't remember much about it, but I remember all his voices that he did, and he was also in Jumanji. I loved that movie. And he plays this, is he the father of the two kids that play the game, and they go through all these adventures, and so his childlike behavior, I think everyone was really drawn to, and just the fact that he made the entire world laugh is just really inspiring.
Yeah. Anyway, he had perpetual energy. I know that. Is my mic cutting out again, by the way?
Yes, it's cutting out again.
Okay. All right, so anyways. Hello. All right, here we go. He had perpetual energy. I know when he was on stage with, like, Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal, you know, it's just like everybody had to take a back seat to him. And he had to really, from what I read, he had to really curb back his sort of natural tendencies to allow somebody else to also shine in those moments. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. So, okay, what else we got, Robert?
Well, I thought we'd go out with two things. One, we're going to play a little bit of a show that he was on at the end. But I think of everyone that I heard sum up his life, I thought Norm MacDonald, formerly of Saturday Night Live, did it best. And he did it in just a few tweets, and I think it's a tribute to both Norm for his skill as well as his love for Robin. Here's his tweet that went out the night of his death. It was my first stand-up appearance on Letterman, and I had to follow the funniest man in the world. I was just a punk kid from rural Ontario in my dressing room, terrified. I was on a phone with a friend when the funniest man in the world happened to amble by. There was no one else in the room. In shock, I told my friend, the funniest man in the world just walked by. I guess he heard me say this because he came over to my side. He then became a Jewish tailor taking my measurements. He was down on his knees and asked how I liked to dress. I told my friend on the phone that the funniest man in the world was on his knees measuring my inseam. My friend did not believe me. He said, well, let me talk to him. Robin Williams picked up the phone and began taking my friend's Chinese food order over the phone for 10 minutes in Mandarin. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I thought it was a dream because no one else was there. No one. He tried to explain to my friend that they were out of Mushu pork and there's simply nothing he could do about it. He angrily hung up on my friend, told him never to call again. The funniest man in the world then dressed me, complete with a Windsor knot. He spoke mostly Yiddish, and when he finished, he asked if I was happy with the job. No one else in the world witnessed this. No one. The funniest man alive was in my dressing room for a good half hour, and he was far funnier doing that than I would be on the stage in a few minutes. When he left my dressing room, I felt alone as I've ever been, until today.
Yeah,
good stuff, huh?
Wow. Yeah, really beautiful. Are we going out on a Robin Williams
song? We are. Okay. He was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and this is a clip, and we'll leave it at that and wish our friend goodbye, and may he find true happiness wherever he is.
Absolutely. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, Robert Palmer. This is Radio Caravan, April.
Would you welcome Robin Williams? Yeah!
Here's the always entertaining Robin Williams.
Please welcome Academy Award winner Robin Williams!
What are your thoughts on the election?
It's getting pretty wonderful because I love the idea that it's either going to be a woman or a black man, hopefully, be president. Yes! Yeah! Throwing Hispanic and people in the South will just be, I don't know where to go! It's very strange. You think that some people get worried, like if you're going to elect Obama, he's so eloquent that all of a sudden he's going to be elected and immediately go, what's up, what's up, what's up?
We're going to start the clock and you're going to do as many as you can in 1 minute.
Okay.
Start the clock. Here we go. French.
What? For me, it's crazy to even think about. We can't do this for you. You stop smoking, crazy bitch. What have you done?
All right. Korean.
No, that's a crazy. No, oh, this is very good because I have an atomic bomb and I will set it off unless you give me $1 billion.
Okay,
now.
Yiddish.
That's crazy to have a bomb like that in your house. Why would you do that?
Minnesota.
Oh, that's because he's crazy, you know. That's wild.
Austrian.
Oh, well, I've been the governor now for the second term. I'm so excited to be back.
Italian.
Why are you not elected porn actress? We had that in Italy. It was a great thing. She had no scandal.
Irish.
Well, to just sit down, have a drink, and forget about voting.
Jamaican?
Well, forget the drink. Just do a little smoke, you'll be waiting.
Australian?
No, don't worry about that right now because we've got no ozone. Put another kid on the barbie.
Well, Malawian?
Malawian, my boy, my DJ.
Pakistani?
What have you done with that thing? Don't, I will not assist you with your directory assistant.
A Swedish?
Burden? Jesus? He's in touch for what, Canadian?
German?
I am very happy that you have bought the new BMW with heads-up display.
Southern?
Well, that's so weird because my car's just sitting here.
Dutch?
That's a finger right there. Hold it till the water stops.
Canadian?
Oh, that's nice, but I feel good, eh? You know that we're the happiest people on the planet, eh?
And Eskimo?
No way. It is a good thing that you have come here because I have sniffles.
The manly sport of golf, where you can dress like a pimp and no one will care. Where you can wear clothes and even a blind gay man would go, oh dear Christ. Those are loud. This is not carnival. What the f*** are you on? Even the alligator's going, asshole. And you get in there. It's such an exciting athletic sport to whack the ball, get in the cart. Whack the ball, get in the cart. And the commentary's electrifying. Just this side of curling for really getting me going.
We're on the third green now. Could people be quieter? I'd like to hear the grass grow.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer.